an AppleViz original.
I thought we'd just jump right in since it's just you and me.
Let's do it. Go. Okay.
All right.
Hi, Tom.
Who are you? You know what?
This, what time?
We have similarities now that we have matching bras now.
Yes, we do.
Wow. You know, this is a lot because, you know, I remember back in the days when you said, I'm not buying that headphone.
Yeah.
And Spotify is here for life.
But see, I always say things and the audience knows this.
I'm always, just a bad influence.
No, I always say things I don't mean.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello there, everybody, and thank you for giving this podcast a listen. My name is Thomas Tomville, also known as Anonymous. Welcome to AppleViz Unleashed for February 2021. I'm here with Randy Resnack. How are you,
Randy? Oh, it's 1 o'clock and no one in the place, just you and me, because Michael ain't here. Hi, everybody. It's Bagar. How are y'all?
That's right. It is just Randy and I this month.
Wait a minute. We just lost a whole bunch of people.
Oh, hey. Yeah, no.
They don't want to hear just you and I. They want Michael to come on.
That's right. See what happened? Now they will skip this month entirely.
Oh, yeah. No, don't, because we're in for a real treat here.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Some pretty cool things. Obviously, we'll do some Apple news, but there's some other things we want to talk to you guys about.
Definitely.
But before we do that, though, now, we left off last month that you were still waiting on your AirPod Max. So now, I know that we have talked about this, but we'll pretend like I don't know for our listeners. Randy, did you ever get your AirPod Max?
Yeah, and I sent him back.
Wow, it was that good, huh?
Oh gosh, we're teasing each other because I'm not even sure how to put this. I, like you, I'm sure have gotten a lot of flack because you ordered it. It's like, oh, I don't care. I love them.
It's one of those when you feel in your hand, it's kind of like, wow. It's just like this. I just call it a big hunk of metal. That's pretty much what it feels like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But okay, so tell me and our listeners, since you're one of those that really are picky about headphones and the quality, what do you think of those?
I just did this, Tom. I was on another podcast. Somebody asked the same darn question, and I can say this. Music that was done in the 50s to me sounds kind of distorted. I don't get really good clarity. I mean, I don't go, wow, that's just great. But going 60s on forward, some of the 60s stuff doesn't sound too good either for obvious reasons why. But like 60s moving forward and other, types of music, I'm just taken aback because I can hear, sometimes I will hear the vocal track. I can hear the guy or the girls, ladies, whatever. I'll get flack from this, I'm sure. When they start to sing, I can hear their mouth open. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, I can hear them getting ready to, you know, that mouth sound, you know, when you're going to speak. And Tom knows what I'm talking about because he and I have edited a lot of stuff in our day, and you know when you get ready to talk, you want to edit that out. You just don't want to hear that. You know, you can hear it. It's crazy good.
It is. It's so crisp. I mean, it's like I'm trying to explain to people is that So really, what's really important on this, and it really emphasizes that any modern day or those have been produced in a high quality studio, it is awesome. The sound and the things. I mean, you literally can hear them like lift on those bass strings, like, dong. I mean, not just the bass, but just, you can just feel it. You can just hear them thrumming it. And it's just, and everything is so crisp and clear. But I agree with the 50 music. It's like, you know, because it wasn't high quality studio, you know, for the day it was, but not now in terms. So there's some hit and misses in there. But have you had the experience with movies with your spatial audio yet?
You know, I am so enthralled by a few things that have come onto the market recently since I got the Maxes, that which we'll talk about. Between that and listening to other music and podcasts and reading books, I have not, but I've had them on a lot. I think since I've had them, about 3 weeks maybe or something like that now. Mm-hmm. And I have charged them up 4 times. So figure that. I've got 80 hours under my head right now of listening, but I haven't, but I'd like to. And speaking of that, I do have a question that was asked of me by another fellow podcaster whom I podcast with for my podcast. And I hope it's okay. Otherwise, you can edit this part out. But is there a way to change transparency level?
No. So what you get on transparent, that is a level. It would be nice if you'd be able to, say, I want the transparency level higher so I can hear more things. Mm-hmm. But no, unfortunately, it's not that I'm aware of at this point.
I hope if this is not true, I hope you guys email us or send a tweet something, because I've heard just the opposite. I have heard that you can, and in fact, you can turn them up so well that you can hear your clothes moving.
Wow!
So I don't know if I don't know if it's true.
Hey, yeah, if that's true, guys, and you're listening, and if you know this answer, if you can increase that transparent level, let us know. Email us at unleash@applebiz.com, or even give us a new call at our Unleash voicemail line, which is 816-774-1668. So I would love to hear if that is possible. I'm with you, Randy. I would like to have the transparent level higher, but maybe there is. It's not in the settings. I do know that.
Oh, I know that too.
Yeah, and so that's interesting. But you know what? You know what?
What time?
We have similarities now that we have matching bras now.
Yes, we do.
We have the matching cases that goes with the. What did you think of that case, man?
Well, when I looked at it, I thought, well, how am I going to charge these things, and does it make a difference if they're in or out of the case as far as charging goes? All it is a holder, guys. That's
really all it is,
and it serves no purpose except to hold them. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to just charge them in the case, which you can. They don't want to have them scuffed up or anything, so that's why they designed it that way. But there's no electronics in, although when you do have them in the case, when you do open the case up, it will detect that you are going to do something with them. You see what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it has that magnetic collapse, right? And yep. So that really, all that does is just helps it go to sleep a little sooner. Now, does it save any battery? No, but you're right, though. You don't need the case to do any kind of charging or anything like that. You can just charge it outside of it. But I'm with you. It really is. It's just for carrying purposes. But even for carrying purposes, I don't know. I prefer a whole full enclosed.
I do, too. But what I do is I take that metal band that's got the mesh over it, and I carry it by that. Mm-hmm. I love it because it feels heavy in the hand, and I think that I really have something cool, which I do. But I think the case is very lame, actually.
It is, awesome. Right? Yeah. For the price we paid, it was like, wow, this is all you could do? I know they were trying to make it look artistic or, really like flashy, cool, but I think, it's just you have now a pair of futuristic bra like I do. So
I'm serious about this, though. I think that if you're outside and hey, you have your phone in your hand, you have your watch, your Apple Watch on, and you have these blinged out phones, I think there's every potential on getting robbed. I just wouldn't. I would not be out listening to transparency mode or anything like that. It's not that I'm paranoid, but boy, you just don't want to take the chance. That's the way I feel.
I get it. You feel like you want to put in a safe, and you're like,
you want to stay in a safe. You want to stay safe in a safe.
Exactly. All right. So when I saw this, I was pretty excited. So were you able to did you find out about this? How Apple released an iCloud password extension for Chrome, meaning that we can use our iPhone keychain on our Windows system. So I have Microsoft Edge. I'm using the Apple iCloud password extension, which, by the way, works fantastic to add the extension. However, and we'll get to that in a moment, but I installed it, got everything going. It took a little while because you have to install the iCloud app first, and you have to turn that option on. And of course, if you are aware, installing iCloud, that iCloud app is not that great. Accessible. You know?
Terrible.
So they have these checkboxes, but you don't know what the checkboxes are. But anyhow, one of those checkboxes is for that iCloud password. And I was getting all excited. I put all this on, and man, it was not an easy task. It was not something. Have you tried it yourself?
No, I haven't, but I have tried the app, and I just dislike it.
It was disappointing because I got the iCloud app working. I got it to work with that, and I got it on the extension, got that to work. And then all of a sudden, it wants you to enter this verification code. I said, oh, no. Oh, man. And of course, the verification is not accessible. I had to get somebody sighted, type it in for me. And once they entered it, then it started to work just fine. I was able to select my passcode, and it seemed to work just fine until I reboot the computer again. And I don't know if it's something with my settings or what, but it, like, when I opened it up, it wanted the verification code again. I was like, this is not going to work. And I was so excited because I was wanting to use something, because I've been using LastPass, and of course you probably heard by now LastPass ditched the free service where you could use your phone and your computer. Now you can only use one or the other. And so I was like, dang it. So there that went that. Now Microsoft did release something similar to that, where they will allow you to use their Microsoft keychain or whatever you want to call it on the Windows. And it'll work on your iOS. You'll have to, weirdly enough, you have to download the Microsoft authentication software iOS app. It uses that. Isn't that weird? I figured it'd be his own little app called autofill extension or something, but it didn't. But I have not tried that, so I'll be anxious to hear if anybody out there have tried the iCloud autofill password extension. Let me know what your experience is, and see if it's something I'm missing or whatever not. And also let us know about the Microsoft version of it as well. I'd be curious too, does anybody know as a free option for people that they can sync their password? Now my wife and everybody else is using Google. I refuse to use Google, but they love it and it seemed to work pretty well for them.
You realize we're asking a lot of these folks out there today.
We are, because
we don't know anything.
We don't know. This proves it. We don't know. Yeah, we're just
welcome
like everybody
to the podcast where we don't know anything.
Do you use an autofill password software of some kind?
I use 1Password, and that has that capability on it.
You pay the monthly subscription then?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I like 1Password.
And do you think that it's worth the price?
Yeah, I do, because I guess when I look at it realistically, let's face it, you got to keep your passwords up to date.
Yeah.
And if your app is only as good as your memory to add them in quickly. and if you use autofill, you don't know what they are anyway.
That's true.
That takes the burden off. But
this seems to be a real popular one. I mean, a lot of people, you know, Jonathan Mosen did a great podcast on 1Pass, and everybody seemed to like it. I'm just hesitant because nobody in my family, if I'm going to get a subscription, I want the whole family to use it. But everybody else seems to be pretty happy with their Google password. And so I was like, well, dang it. I don't know.
Their own subscription. And I have Tom to thank for this too, Tom. You know what's coming, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I switched from Spotify to Apple Music, and I'm
is that official?
Yeah, because I just think, I mean, there's a little bit of there's always good with the not so good, and either one of them. I like it. There's some more diversity in Spotify, but I like it.
Wow. You know, this is a lot because, you know, I remember back in the days when you said, I'm not buying that headphone.
Yeah.
And Spotify is here for life.
But see, I always say things and the audience knows this.
I'm just a bad influence.
No, I always say things I don't mean.
I'm just a bad influence. Well, here's the backstory, guys, is that when the Super Bowl came, they had a commercial where you could just use this QR code to obtain free Apple Music subscription for 5 months. Is that right? 5 months or 6 months?
It was five.
5 months. And I said, oh, my gosh, maybe. And because Randy and I were talking about it, I said, well, if you really want to totally utilize the AirPod Max, you ought to listen to the music and just test it out, see what you think. And so I gave him that 5 month free code.
And then the next day,
you were on it, and you're telling me you absolutely love it. And I was just—I'll be honest—I'm just shocked because you know I know a lot of Spotify users that will never go to Apple Music and whatever reason that may be. And I get that. I mean, Spotify definitely has its pros, it diversity, as you say, and that seems to be the in place for a lot of artists and things like they hang out. That's just one of those things.
As a matter of fact, I was on my rowing machine and I texted Thomas right from my rowing machine stating, because I was listening to some great tunes at the time. I went, man, Tom, this is cool. I'm on Apple Music. And then we just started talking back and forth or texting back and forth. And,
now, here's a million-dollar question, though.
Yep.
Do you think the music sound quality?
Definitely. Oh yeah.
Really? Okay.
The quality of Apple Music, they've got special codecs that they are a special codec that they use for the music, and you can hear the difference. I A/B'd songs, and the highs are better. It's just smoother sounding.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying Apple Music. We'll have to see if that lasts for you and what you think of it long term wise.
I wish I would just could keep them all. I mean, I technically could.
I know, right? I would love to have Spotify along with my Apple Music. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
But at cost, man, I got to pick one or the other. I can't. If I was made out of cash, I would, but I just don't.
I know. Same here.
Yeah. Well, let's see what else is going on, Mr. Randy. I know this is going to be into the Mac arena. I decided to kind of Mac-icize, whatever you want to call it.
Mac-icize.
Yeah, into one little area. So, and neither of us are really Mac users, but some of our listeners are. So I thought we'd go over some of the new things. So 11.2 for the Mac has dropped, which is a God blessing because it got a couple of things in there that really helped us in terms of those that are low vision blind. First of all, it kind of fixes some Bluetooth issues they're having on and other various things. But the big thing was that in the recovery mode, a lot of people were trying to get to the disk utilities and it would just crash. So when they go to recovery mode, go over to disk utilities and it crashed. And it was, that is huge. That is huge because we need that area to be able to format our drives or boot camp or whatever not. And we weren't able to do that. So finally, that was probably the biggest fix in 11.2. And the other thing a lot of people were complaining, and rightfully so, I guess when you wake up the Mac, Randy, is that it would take 5 to 10 seconds before VoiceOver would talk.
Oh my God.
I was thinking to myself, if I opened up my Windows and I got no response for JAWS for 5 to 10 seconds, can you imagine? I would think a lot of people go, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? And
so, not even in the old days was that true.
No, 5, 10 seconds. So that had to have been frustrating just to sit there and wait, don't know if it's really going to come up or if it's off or, you know, a lot of things are going through your head. But anyhow, they fixed that as well. So
a lot of things always go through my head.
That's huge. That was, oh, jeez. Now, quickly off the heel off that, they have 11.2.1. Now, check this, Randy. I was like, oh, I would be so, so those with the MacBook Pro 2016 and 2017 were the one that was affected by this. But apparently, I guess when they got their battery dead, they went back to charge it, right? Mm-hmm. But in 11.2, it would be stuck at 1%. It would never go over 1%.
Right.
I said, what a nightmare scenario. And evidently, it was a bug and a major problem. So 11.2.1 was supposed to address that issue. However, there were still some people that it totally like bricked their MacBook. You could not charge over 1%. I was thinking, wow, just because I installed 11.2.
Is that a false positive, do you know, or was that the truth?
That was a truth. It was so bad, in fact, that they're having a recall. If your computer is in a 2016, 2017 Pro models, and if you're stuck at that battery charge and not going over 1%, Apple is going to do a recall, and they will fix that for free. But can you imagine, like, Microsoft releasing something like that, and my computer would not go above 1%, and you had to take it in to get it fixed to resolve that issue? I'm thinking, what in the world? Wow. Horrible.
Yeah, that is awful.
So if you need more information about this will affect you, show in the show note. It has a link in there that will tell you, it'll lead you to the article where you can find out more information if this is you in specific, if it's something that you can take into your Apple dealers, repair shop, or Apple store to get it fixed. And, you know, just as I speak, like breaking news, 11.2.2 was released. I don't think I've ever recalled two update like 0.1, 0.2 come out less in a week. And that tells me something. you got some serious problem going on, but apparently this fix, you know how on the newer computers that this only affects on the newer 2020 models, that, you know, you only have that USB port, right? And there's no other ports.
Right.
And apparently, if you're using a third-party USB-C hub power unit, it will trash up your port. So this 11.2.2 is supposed to help eliminate from messing up your computer because you're using a third-party. Now, I always use a third-party accessory. This is the first time I've ever heard that they have had issues where those things are actually damaging those ports. And so this update will disallow you to use certain third party to work on it to prevent from it not trashing up
correctly. Yeah.
But think about that. I was like, so you're essentially telling me I have to pay for an official Apple product. You know, that costs a lot of money. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you and I and everybody else we're just stacked to the gills with third-party accessories for our iPhones and computers. And it's just to have Apple say, oh, no. You would think they would build those devices to withstand or whatever the issue is. I don't know why that is. Sounds like maybe it's sending too much power search through that port that it wasn't designed to handle that. I don't know, but it's... I mean, how else would it short it? Yeah. And then on the heel of that, you know, we were talking about last month, and this is going to affect a lot of people. We were talking about last month how Apple decided to block the sideloading of the apps.
Oh, now, yeah.
Remember that we were talking about, and how they kind of turned off momentarily, and then they, they turned it on, so where they block it, and then they turned off. Now, it is official. Now, ever since 11.2 dropped, now you can no longer sideload apps. This is going to dramatically hit a lot of people because I know a handful of people that bought M1s for that reason, so they would be able to experiment and play with iOS and iPad apps on the Mac. And now they're not going to be able to do that unless the developer says that one you can use, that one you can't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know that one time you were talking about how awesome that would be to have that option on your, if you were buy a Mac that would use it for that reason. Now, would that hinder you as a one to purchase now?
I'll say that by stating this. I bought a Amazon product. You know, it was the show. It was the second generation, I think. And I wanted to use YouTube on it in the worst way. I thought this is going to be awesome. And I swear this is a true story. And the next day, they blocked video content from YouTube on the show. You know what I did?
No.
I sent the show back.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, when people do things like that, I don't think that's fair to the user. If they just want to use a certain portion of it, they say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to be fighting, and so we don't allow content like that. So,
yeah,
it's a good thing that they, you know, that it happened while my trial was still going. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
Instead of being knee deep in and you're already in there, yeah, it kind of sucks because we were talking about that last month. They should have done this from the get go. I mean, can you imagine the people that went ahead and bought this so they could be able to take advantage of it? Now denied using it. It's like. I would love to hear what others think on this. And if anybody has a workaround for this, I would be happy to hear about it. Because right now,
so you're asking the audience again for help.
I am, because I looked and I could not find any way to get around this issue. As long as it's legal and if there's a way to do it, I would love to hear about it. But what a bummer. I feel bad for those. And on top of that, Randy, another recall. Yes. Check this one out. Now, this, I don't think it affects you, but it does affect me. But thankfully, I don't have this problem. But Apple Watch owners of the Series 5 and the SE, apparently in 7.3, when that dropped, if you got it into the recovery battery mode, when the power gets too low on the Apple.
Yeah, the 10%.
Yeah, it gets stuck, and you cannot get out of it. And so if you are one of those people, the 7.3.1 came out, hopefully to rectify that problem.
I can unequivocally tell you that it has affected me in the worst, in any way.
Well, thank the Lord. Yeah, fortunately, I have not had this problem. I always keep my watch pretty charged up, so I didn't get down to that point to find out. However, there are people out there that cannot get it out of that mode. And I was like, oh my gosh, another release of a OS that tanks your device. I was like, this is so weird. And I can't figure out if this was already there as a bug or what, or if it's a software that actually caused this to happen. I don't know. But if you are one of those people with the SC and the 6 series of the Apple Watch and you're stuck in that recovery mode, don't let me know. Check out the show note, and that will show you where to go and get your Apple Watch repaired, and Apple will be repairing those for free as well.
Oh my gosh, that just stinks.
And I keep referring that wrongly. It's a power reserve mode.
Right. I know what you meant. I'm sure our audience knew too.
Yeah. You know, so the power reserve mode is what we're looking for. So if it's stuck in that, update to 7.3.1. If that doesn't fix it, head on over to Apple's where they will be able to fix it for free. I just can't believe it.
Man, myself, I'm glad it didn't happen because I'm nowhere near an Apple outlet.
I know, right? It's just like... Wow. I think I was just lucky. And I hope a lot of other people don't have this experience or problem either. And speaking of iOS and going into the iOS realm of things, I've been beta testing 14.5. And I tell you what, typically these major, there are some good, you know, sometimes they got small new features, but this one has some really awesome new features, Randy. I absolutely love it. Since you're an Apple Watch user, one of my favorite, you know how right now when we unlock our phone with a mask on, with Face ID, it won't let us do it. We have to enter the passcode, right? Well, I was able to test this beta feature out that allows you to use your Apple Watch to unlock your iPhone. So essentially how this works is that your Apple Watch has to be on your wrist and already unlocked. So I've already entered my passcode or whatever. In my case, I use my iPhone to unlock Apple Watch. Do you do that feature?
Yep.
And, well, now you could do the vice versa. So when I open up my iPhone and hit the swipe up to the Face ID, it'll automatically detect that it has mask. And then I'll head on over to Apple Watch and it says, hey, is it okay unlocking? And the Apple Watch just kind of buzzes. You don't have to do anything. It just buzzes, and then it just unlocks the device. I was like, oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. So you got to have an Apple Watch to take advantage of this, but that is one of my most favorite one. Now, the other favorite option, and I mentioned this to Randy last month when he was on Spotify. I said, hey, you get wait until you get to 14.5. Those are still on Spotify. Guess what? You can now ask the S lady, the Ahoy Siri lady, to make Spotify the music choice. So in other words, like the default web browser we're able to do now and default mail, you can do that with your music app. So Spotify, if that's your go-to, you just tell Ahoy Siri to make that your default music app choice. And then from now on, when you request for music or songs, it will pull from Spotify. About time.
Yes, it is.
And you're probably saying, man, if that only happened a little earlier before I got the Apple Music.
Yeah, well, before I got the Maxis too, I thought that'd be kind of cool to do. But again, they forced me to buy something so that I could switch. You know, that's how they are.
Mm. It's all good. But, you know, this is great news for Spotify users. Now, at this time, I haven't been able, and I don't know if it's one of those things, you know, once 14.5 gets released, we had to wait until certain apps get updated, and then within the settings of that app, we were able to choose this as default web browser, for example. And I don't know if that would be the option for Spotify, other than asking the Ahoy Siri lady to do it. That would be a little easier. But another nice thing I like about it, and it's they kind of copied off of Waze. Have you heard of Waze map?
No.
So Waze and Google Maps, Google actually owns that. And what I like about those is that you use crowdsourcing for identifying accidents, speed traps, mm-hmm. and hazards. It has come in handy for us when we use Google Maps. They'll tell us there's a car accident up ahead. Somebody report it and they'll let us know. Apple Map doesn't have this feature, but now in 14.5, it does. So they copy some of those features. And cool. That is a big plus. I love that feature. There's some other minor things. It's kind of funny. They're kind of jabbing Google a little bit on this. When we use the fraudulent website warning, it means kind of like Apple, if you have this option on and it's on by default, and when we surf to certain sites on Safari, that if the website is known to be fraud or phishing, for whatever reason, it'll protect us from that and say, sorry, this site is a bad site. Don't go here for these reasons. What I didn't know is they were using Google, the Google Safe Browsing APIs. I was like, how weird is that? That's kind of so ironic that Apple is using Google to protect us from certain sites. And it's just like, it's kind of fun to hear that, but apparently Google was collecting information on us when we were using that feature. And so Apple changed that so it will be protecting us. So Google have no idea who it is.
I'm glad of that.
Isn't that weird? I mean, it's so funny. I think that Apple is using Google APIs to search. I was like, that was the last thing on the world I thought Apple would ever do, because Apple is so good about privacy and stuff, and they mm-hmm. allowed this to happen in the first place. I was like, what?
Now, while we're on that subject, I'd like to just mention one thing before we get off the subject, and that was I received something a couple of days ago from Facebook, and it was really weird. I got hit with this twice. I ignored it twice. I looked at it just to make sure it was what I thought it was, and it was something that it gave me a little sign. Maybe you even have seen this before, but it said something like, is this really you? And then it showed an emoticon with a face of fear emoji. Mm-hmm. He said, in order to – now, who's going to do this? I went, you know, I went further into it, and it said, in order to view this video that you're in, We need to download and listen to this, guys, a VPN. And I thought, well, that makes no sense to me.
They're asking a lot of steps, like you need to do this and that.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
All right. Now, who's going to do that? So, obviously, a lot of people have. I did some investigation, and if you download this VPN, supposedly a VPN app.
Oh.
It says.
No.
Your iPhone has been infected with 10 viruses. Click here to get rid of them. Yes or no?
Oh, what a it's such a shame.
I mean, who's going to do that? And you know there are people out there that are going to do that.
You know, it's so sad, Randy. You know, my my mother-in-law was one of those people. She answered a phone call one day, and it was Microsoft. Hi, this is such and such from Microsoft, and we've detected that you have a virus on your machine. We would like to clean that up for you.
Oh, yeah.
So that way you're not infected. And she allowed them to remote on and everything. And it turned out to be a complete nightmare. No, it's just so sad that there are so many people that get sucked into that. And, you know, it's not. And some of them are so good. They're so good in this that you could not tell the difference. I mean, some of them are they craft it so well. Then there's some that are just totally not so crafted so well, like this one. I need you to install it.
Two of them hit me the other day.
Wow.
And I said, oh, really? That's cool. I've got some friends of mine at Microsoft, and I said, you know, and I'm not going to mention any names, but this is true. I mean, I really do know people in Microsoft. yes, we know this person. Oh, so can we help you get rid of your computer? I said, oh, absolutely. I'm thankful that you called. Thank God, you know, you called. And said, hold on a second. Let me go grab my my computer, and I'll give you all the information needed. And I just had him on a phone, you know, like playing with him, like a lot. And so I basically said to them, so you want me to do what? I'm using JAWS. Do you know what JAWS is? Oh, yes. Yeah, we know what that is. So you're going to hear a talking computer. Oh, well, that's okay. We can get in. And I just had them on the phone playing with them a lot. And nothing ever happened, you know, because I wouldn't let it happen.
So this is for the iPhone specifically, though.
The Microsoft deal, that was for the computer that was supposedly
had a virus. So the problem you had is for the iPhone. Now, I never heard of an iPhone scam like that. That is clever.
Yes, it's clever, and it's coming, guys. So be very, very careful.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. I hope none of us, nobody has been victimized on that. And, you know, if you ever get that, folks, there are no viruses on phones. It's just
right.
And so it's just, you know, if that happened to my mom, she has an iPhone, she would have no idea. She really doesn't. So
she would click on that, and it would just infect everybody, you know,
That's a clever way of doing this. And insert a new profile for a VPN, so that way it goes through their server, and all the information you are sending back and forth go through that server. That's very dangerous. I mean, everything. Oh, wow. Now, speaking of Apple Music that we were talking about earlier, and 14.5 iOS is coming up, Randy, is that, you know, have you ever played with a lyric feature on Apple Music yet?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of cool. It doesn't happen to all the songs, but most of the songs have it. So if you hit the lyrics and you have voiceover on and certain settings, it will highlight one by – so as they sing a verse, voiceover will say what that next verse is going to be before it sings it, and then it sings it.
Wow, that's
isn't that cool? And yeah. I love it because I can go to a certain lyric in that song and tap it, double tap it, and I'll start – it'll just skip it to that part of the song and sing that verse. Well, they've taken that one step further on this one, and apparently if you like that lyric or verse for whatever reason, you can highlight up to 5 lines of verse and share it as an audio clip now. And you can share that onto like Instagram and things like that. I thought that was kind of cool. Now, I would never use anything like that, but apparently some people want to use it as audio clips. So if you have one or two verse that goes in there and you want to clip it for a podcast or something, you can do that. It's not, wow, that's pretty cool.
I only listen to explicit material, Tom. So, you know, it's be interesting to share that with my podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm only kidding. I would just so people are probably getting the right, you know, they are you big R? Are you doing that stuff? Are you? I don't. It's really interesting though. I would never use that either. But it's there's so much out there that they can do now. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I only found that by accident playing with the lyrics, and I was so I saw that. I said, that's an interesting new feature. And of course, you know, Mike is not here to make fun of him, but they add 200 more emojis to the version of 14.5. So including
That's why he's not here. He's going through them all.
That's right. He's going through them all. He wants to see them all. And one of those is a AirPod Max, a little emoji. Oh, I thought. Funny. That is so funny.
Something like a little advertisement for them, right?
No doubt. Now, we also talked about how we didn't like the Apple News and the Apple Podcasts. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, the news apps did get some voiceover fix or accessibility at this time. Hopefully, it'll stay intact when the 14.5 comes released. But the big thing for me is they revamped the Apple Podcasts app. Randy, I kid you not, I'm a huge Overcast user.
And me too.
One of our beta tester on the AppleVis beta team pointed this out, and he says, hey, did you notice they revamped the podcast? And I never checked those things. And I checked it. It looks just like Apple Music. I mean, the tabs are similar and everything. So the layout and everything is – at first, I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I like this because I'm so used to the way I use Downcast, Overcast, Castro, whatever that may be. It is different, but it's starting to grow on me. I'm actually starting to like this new Apple Podcast app.
You heard it here first, everybody.
It is interesting. I will definitely be doing a podcast on this just to kind of introduce you and how to use it. It is pretty cool. I'm not going to lie about it. It is. There's definitely some learning curve to it. I don't think it's as simple as Overcast, but I am on that line that I might jump over. That says a lot right there. Because
Overcast. So with so many ways that you can get your podcast now, whether the G lady, the A lady,
exactly.
You know, what would be the advantage of, why would you switch when you can, you know, just say what you want to hear anyway?
Well, for one, can you, well, because I subscribe to like, oh gosh, maybe 20 something podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
I don't remember all the names, and I wouldn't know when there's a new one come along and stuff. And so if I ask the A-Lady and stuff, I kind of technically have to remember the name of it to mm-hmm. see if there's a new cast. This, I have this little area that says kind of a podcast list of all the podcasts that come out. So I can see it'll say like today, and it'll reverse order from date and time. Oh, so sure. I can see what came out first and then all the way back to Wednesday and back to Tuesday.
They're really trying to get the market, it sounds like.
They really are. And I think what they're doing, Randy, I think they're setting them up. I think they're setting that up to have the Podcast Plus that we were talking last month about the new service. Mm-hmm. I have a strange feeling. I just have this really gut feeling that they revamped it because they want to add that little tab down there for Podcast Plus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to get is that little feature in there. But nonetheless, when that comes out, check it out. Now, some of you shortcut people, if you love shortcuts, there are some new actions. And there are some pretty cool ones. One of them is taking a screenshot. So you're able to take a screenshot and manipulate it to what you want to do with the screenshot. That's not going to be quite useful for us. Maybe doing a screenshot and maybe having it read to us, maybe that might be helpful. But the change in orientation is the one I'm thinking about. So we can change orientation. So if you are one of those like myself, I like to lock the portrait and then sometime I have to unlock it to landscape. Now you can set that up as a shortcut. Plus, you can also change the cellular data mode, which is also kind of a neat thing. But overall, 14.5 has some pretty cool stuff, and it's bigger than I anticipated. And I think a lot of people are going to love 14.5. I'm guessing it will be released probably, if I had to, you know, there's no official word, but I'm thinking middle of March to end of March is when we'll see this released. So watch out on Apple Vis to when that comes out. And as I mentioned, I'll probably do a couple podcasts on a few of these new options. So be sure to check those out as well.
Right.
Now, you remember this app privacy labels that we were talking about last month? You know, in the App Store, showing you this privacy. You know, this is the. Guess what? The U.S. House Committee, which is part of the in Washington, D.C., that kind of oversees everything. And they were checking this Apple's privacy labels out. And they wanted Apple to explain how the process works. How do they determine the validity of this? Because this is where I was just totally shocked. I assume Apple would be like ahead of the game on this or have an answer for it. But they don't, Randy. This is okay. So Apple says this is basically an honor system that we're allowing the developers to tell us what privacy that we can expect in these apps. And that's what we're seeing. Are you serious? Honor system?
It's kind of like reminds me of when you look at ratings on, let's say, certain big companies that start with A. And you start looking at these ratings, you know, 4 stars, 2 stars, 3 stars. It's kind of like that. You don't really – do you really pay attention to a lot of stuff that you see? Because, I mean, I don't. I go by my gut feeling rather than I go by ratings. Because sometimes, you know, people can trash something just because they can.
So that's a good point. Yeah, that is annoying, isn't it? It's kind of like you see these – some of these reviews, it's like, you know, that's questionable, because in between some of that are some actual, you can read it. It's like, now that sounds like an actual person and it's a lesser.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is on an honor system. And so the House committee is kind of concerned, like, well, this is the problem, Apple. This is not going to work, because if you're going to have this privacy label, because what turns out is that they did a test on this, and over half of the apps are in the App Store that has this app privacy label are misleading or false. That is huge. Yeah. And I don't know how Apple will be able to control this better. And, you know, who to say that when 14.5 comes out, we will get that little pop-up. You know, Facebook has to say, do you want to be tracked? Well, obviously, Facebook, we know, does that. But third-party apps that falsify these things that are still tracking us decide to be malicious and to say, I'm not going to offer them a pop-up because we said on our privacy statement that we don't have any. And I'm just stunned, and I hope Apple fixes this problem. And I said, what is the point of releasing this privacy stuff if it's not going to be adhered or used correctly? It's just, I mean, does that not shock you as well?
It does.
It's just unbelievable that Apple would do that. Now, we have all been waiting for, when is the keynote? When is the March keynote? Everybody's waiting. We know this is every year at this time of the year in March. Apple has a keynote. Now, there's been rumors popping out on March 16th with the date, but it was quickly dismissed after that by some reliable leakers saying that is not the official date.
There's a lot of leaks out there too.
There are, and I think it's still going to happen. Some people say, well, does that mean they're not going to come out with it? No, I think they will have a keynote. It's just, it's not going to be that date. It's not going to be the 16th, as I mentioned, but I still think they will have it. I mean, obviously the new iPad Pros and the iPad Minis and the AirTags are still the three dominant things that everybody says it will be in this keynote, which is, well, we'll have to see. But I still think it's going to happen. You know, once again, check AppleVis for when the official word drops. And we'll definitely have a summary when they do have it. We'll have a summary of what was revealed at the show. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if the AirPods 3.0 is going to come out. I will be curious if that rumor is true or not. We'll have to wait to see. So I'm kind of anxious for the March. But the only thing I'm excited about is probably the AirTags. But I just think it's going to be not too terribly exciting. That's, I don't know. That's just me.
I kind of think the same thing.
If it was something bigger, I would be excited. Who knows if they reveal something else that might change things? That would be awesome.
I do not want to spend any more money on anything for a while.
Well, they've released so much stuff out there. My gosh, that last year was so packed with product, especially the end part of the year. We're still taking effect from that. More news about the upcoming 12S. You know, obviously I'm calling the 12S because I think that's what they're going to call the new.
Here we go. You know,
that's this is some cool stuff, though. Yeah,
yep. And I said that I wasn't going to upgrade for 3 years. Well, that went away like fairly quickly in my book.
I know, right? Some of this new stuff in there is pretty cool. Now, we have talked in the past about possibly underlying the screen or the side button being a Touch ID, and we talked about that. And we also talked about how the iPhone 11 mini was doing so bad. Mm-hmm. They've totally cut production. That means they're not making any more because they have so many of it. They have a huge surplus of the iPhone 11 minis, which is kind of sad, but I expect there's going to be some major sales on those items coming up real soon. But
that's just, I think they're going to have it when you walk through the store, they just give you one.
I really thought that was going to go like hotcakes, and boy, I was totally wrong on that. I really thought people would like that smaller factor in it, but the good news is that there's still talks that the iPhone 12S will still have a mini. So that there's, for one more year, they'll at least have a 12S mini is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And for the 12S themselves, there are going to be some other things that we have not discussed about. They're going to do some minor update to the camera. This year is not going to be a huge camera push year. Right. Seems like every year was a big... actually, it's just going to be very little in a way. They're going to focus on the ultra-wide lens aperture, so it lets in more low light come into the picture so you can see things better with a wide lens. I love that wide lens. I have my wife help me use it, and that's come in handy a couple of times. So you can get more into the picture, which is kind of cool, especially on the selfie. You're able to get more of the things around you in the back of you. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. Now, the always-on display is a new thing that people are talking about.
Yeah.
What? Now, you had that on your 6, right? It's always-on option is on
there? Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true. To answer your question, yes, that's true. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. I mean, it doesn't make any difference in the way I use my watch at all.
It doesn't do anything for us, right? I mean, it's like...
No.
You have that option off? Because I turned that option on my 5th series. I just have the tap to wake.
I do too.
Okay. Yeah, I don't – doing this on the iPhone, those with vision or not vision, I suppose it allows you to see the notification that pops up without having to wake it up, I suppose. And I guess that's the only thing that would be beneficial to those. But for those that have no vision like us – I can't think of any reason why I would be excited about that at all.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But, you know, we're not the only ones out there. Mm. But, yeah.
So, apparently, it just means that the efficiency of the battery uses and consumption is going to be a lot better because it will allow us to have always-on display. They have talked about increasing the MagSafe battery strength right now. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty strong, but apparently once you put cases on it, kind of lose that intensity because you have the extra layer. They're going to try to intensify the magnet. And I don't know what I think about that because you obviously probably already heard about those with pacemakers and stuff do not.
Yeah. I shouldn't joke about this. I really shouldn't, but I have heard about it a lot. I've heard a lot of comments on that, funny comments, but
I didn't realize that it's very dangerous. You can reset that pacemaker and cause very bad adverse effect. So they're warning people not to put the iPhone 12 near your pacemaker or any other device that could be interfered by a magnet. Now they're only going to want to make this stronger. I was like, boy, I have mixed feelings on it. I have always had mixed feelings. I love the MagSafe idea, but anywho, that is also new features. Now, those are the features that came up this month. So leaks are still coming out for the 12S, and we'll just have to wait and see, if, obviously, when it gets closer and we get more information. Now, the other bit of news, and we've heard about this Apple Glasses for some time, and I tell you, the rumor is just beating its drums more and more and louder and louder. So here's the latest thing. It's going to be called the Apple Glass, is what I've heard. It's called Apple Glass. And it looks just like a regular glasses, and there you really can't tell that it's got any digital form to it, as in meaning the glasses look like glasses, not like some robotic Terminator glasses. Okay. Some of the glasses we've seen out there, it looks like something from science fiction. Apparently, they're trying to make it as close as they can to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that would be so cool. It's kind of silly, but one of the models prototype they were doing, it was kind of showing the similarity of what Steve Jobs' glasses had. So Steve Jobs wore glasses, and they were kind of mimicking or prototyping in glasses like that. And it uses prescription glasses. So if you have prescription, you can interchange those lenses on the Apple Glass with it. Now, there's not a whole lot of information about it, but I wanted to start talking about it because rumor has it they may be coming out with this next year. And the cost right now sounds like around $499, which is a lot less and then I anticipated. Now, this is different from the AR headset. Now, the AR headset is going to be a totally different beast, and it can be a lot more expensive. This is the Apple Glass that I've been waiting for because apparently it will have these things on the glasses, a camera and a LiDAR. Now, we'll have to see if that's true or not. And I will be curious because, you know, Google Glasses came out with this a long time ago, along with Snapfish. And they were out first. But, you know, a lot of places were banning those Google Glasses for privacy reason because they didn't know if they were recording them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember that big old debacle they had with that?
Yes.
And so I'm wondering how Apple Glass is going to do any differently. And I guess there are a lot of other companies that want to make glasses. So Apple's not the only one. I just read today Facebook wants to come out with its own glasses. And it wants to do facial recognition. I was like, oh, you're just causing a bad.
I'll be running for that pair, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm thinking it's just you're leaving a bad taste for all other glasses. So everybody's going to think you're not recording me on that stupid ass glass, you know. I want that rip, you know, I don't want you wearing that. We'll have to see how acceptable, but nonetheless, for $499, that is a price to wait. Now, obviously, my understanding, you have to have an iPhone with this glasses. That's how it pairs with it for data. It's kind of like our Apple Watch.
Right.
It has to be paired with an iPhone. But it has wireless charging, and so you'll be able to charge it. And I'm curious about the headphones on it. Now, obviously, it doesn't have speakers on it or anything. So I'm curious if we will definitely have to wear AirPods Pro or some sort of buds or headphones, I would think, to be able to utilize it. I'll be curious how this will work for those with voiceover and in terms of accessibility. And I wonder if this will give Envision Glasses the run for its money, because Envision Glasses, if you haven't heard, is Android based. And yeah. It allows you to load up apps such as InVision and other. And now if you're able to use an iPhone and pair with it, and I'm able to use InVision or Super LiDAR or Super Sense or Microsoft CNI with this for half the price or lesser, boy, they got huge competition on their hand. I love options, but I also hate to see people.
Anybody get stung. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So are you excited? I mean, what are your thoughts about the Apple Glass?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to spend thousands on, over $1,000 on glasses. No.
Yeah, I will be.
I'm already getting flack for getting the AirPod.
The AirPod Max being so expensive. I might consider it if it helps me walking with my guide dog and my cane, if it does better than what I can expect with Aria and everything with it, that might be compelling for a lot of people that could use something like that. But we'll have to wait and see. Now, I am a Apple TV third generation user, and I can tell my time has come. And so I'm giving you a heads up, all you Apple TV third generation folks. It is time for us to consider upgrading to a newer version, because one of the first two apps has dropped their shoes, and meaning that YouTube, for example, and CBS All Access, which is now going to be Paramount Plus, you will not be able to use that on your third generation Apple TV. So heads up that you will need to start upgrading or thinking about upgrading if you use your Apple TV a lot. And if those apps are something you use, it wouldn't surprise me to start seeing a lot other apps start to follow the suit. So I think this is just the beginning of the wave of unsupporting Apple TV third generation. You have Apple TV?
I have the third generation.
You use it much, though?
I really don't. Because I really, really like my Fire TV.
Yeah.
I like the way it navigates. I don't dislike it for the same reasons that other people do. I don't mind, really don't mind the remote. But I'm so ensconced in that ecosystem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you probably, and then, so you're, you know, our smart TV has the same thing. It's got its built-in screen reader, and it's just a lot easier to use. Not to say that Apple TV isn't. It's just that I have an alternative solution. So I'm not sure if we'll be upgrading to Apple TV. That's just, I just don't know. Probably not until the next generation come out, I might consider it. But would that put you in a spot knowing those apps will no longer work on your third
series? Not for me, no. But I mean, if they would say, you know, again, I'm sure I'm probably seeing to you guys, you know, like I'm getting kickbacks from Netflix, but I mean, if they were to say, you know, you can't use Netflix on that device, then and why should I when Fire supports them? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, and in this month, AppleViz news. Now, there's a couple here. Randy and I are going to definitely dive into it because it seems like everybody brother is. But I'll start off with the Space Wave Race. I did a podcast on this game. It's a new game. It's an audio game. It's a racing audio futuristic space game. Really fantastic. I have done quite a few different podcasts on racing games before, and I was like, so-so. But so check out the podcast on it to listen for yourself. I really am a huge fan of this game. The way they designed it and the sounds in it is just really, really good. Now for the other shoe to drop, this is what we all been talking about is...
Before we do that, I just want to let everybody know that I listened to... Tom's podcast, and makes me want to check out that game. You know?
Yeah. It is a paid app, but it's a great game. All right. So okay, everybody and their brother is talking about Clubhouse. Clubhouse. If you are not familiar with Clubhouse, Clubhouse is a new app that's coming to iOS. It's currently in beta, invite only. So people that have invites can only attend to the Clubhouse. Clubhouse is like, I was trying to think of a comparison. Reddit is probably the closest thing I can compare it to. Reddit is a site where we have all these different interests, genres, categories, groups that are people of interest that can go and join or enter and then see all the response back and forth. It's kind of like an email list for a particular group. That pretty much that pretty good description of Reddit. And so Reddit is only for chat and text only. Clubhouse is an audio only platform. Same concept. And this is where we have clubs, we got groups, we got interests, we got genre, we have everything underneath the sun. And I joined into it. Randy and I joined in. Ironically, we were just invited within days apart from each other. We didn't know.
Funny. A day apart.
It is, to me, I love it. I think it's phenomenal. Now, there's a lot of questions.
That's first.
We'll get your two cents. So what do you think of it?
No, I'm just kidding. So when I saw Tom come in here, I went, wow, this is going to be cool. So I asked him to join me, and he accepted the invite. And, you know, he said, you know, thanks for inviting me in. And I thought, this is going to be just a fantastic evening. So we're both on our AirPods, you know, and you can chat with your AirPods on, by the way. And so I came in, and the room, we both were in there, and for what reason I can't really tell, but the room just exploded. It just went nuts. And we spent that whole evening talking to a lot of our listeners, and it was just fantastic. I had a great time, and that whole evening was great. Finally, Tom had to go, and I had to go because we have, let's see, what's that word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, lives. we couldn't get off, could we?
No, it's addictive, and it's tough because I'll see people in that group. Oh, I want to talk to those people, and I got things to do. So essentially, what we're talking about is that there's rooms that people create or interest. And, you know, some rooms are very unorganized and some rooms are extremely organized.
Like ours.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's places like here's a great example. Blind Origami has a chance. Chauncey was doing a cast, or I say a room, on this. And she did exactly what that is. If you want to learn how to do origami, that channel or that room is what it was designed for. And she'll like, pull out a piece of paper, a standard 8x11, just put this in half. And it was just so phenomenal. And it was just the things that are on it. Like this morning, I was, there was a room for how to be a podcaster, how to be a better podcaster. Or there was another room that's for.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, no, honestly, I did. There are some really good stuff in there. And Bill Gates was on there the other day. They was talking about, well, he thought of Clubhouse and what phone he uses. He uses the Android, and what reason. So it is definitely a time waster if you choose to do so. But there are some good clubs out there that are more organized. They're set for a certain date and time, and that are actually very productive and very insightful. There are people on there from university to teachers to there's even a yoga club where every morning you can join in and she does yoga for you, and it's just unbelievable of the spectrum and what you can get lost in that. And I will plan to do a podcast on it, probably not now because it's such an infancy stage that I got a feeling they're changing all the time. The more they change, I will have to redo the podcast over and over and over. So I'm going to wait on it for a bit. Now, I have some people ask me, why don't we do an AppleViz club? I will say right now, the AppleViz members are not quite ready to be on board. I believe I'm the only one on there for now. If that changes, I'll let everybody know. And I personally would love to have like a once a month venue where we can come and do Q&A sessions that we used to do on Zello on Clubhouse. But right now it's invitation only. It means you have to have an invitation by people to get into it. I don't know when it will come out for the public. So hang in there. If you have not gotten an invitation, ask around other people if they know other people that might have invitation to help you get on it. And it's only for iOS, and it will become for Android. I know that's one of the biggest things they're working on is to get the Android. Usually I don't want to get hyped up on a trend or fad, but when I look in a neutral stance, will you agree, Randy, that this got some huge potential for the blind community?
Well, it does. And another thing I'd like to add is that it's possible for one person to pin you and say, hey, you got to get into this, you know, we'd like you to come into this room so you can share your ideas or just listen. And I've gotten pinged quite a few times, and I love the content that people have pinged me on. And I've learned things.
It has a learning curve, doesn't it? There's some weird quirks in the apps itself. It's mostly accessible. Don't get me wrong, folks. It's probably about 90% accessible. It's very accessible. It's just got some quirks. It just takes some learning curve. And
yeah, it is quirky, but there's...
I love it.
Yeah, me too. I guess I would say for those who are listening to this cast, make sure you're a fairly competent screen read, voiceover user.
Mm-hmm, definitely. This is not for the faint of heart. It is something that takes some time to get used to. And hopefully when I come out with the podcast, I'll be able to alleviate a lot of those issues and problems and how to get around it. Jonathan Mosen did a great podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So check him out.
I'd advise you to listen to it now. Because it may change in a week, seriously. So, you know, we don't know.
Right. It's changing rapidly. Every week comes out with an update, and that week there's a lot of new updates. But Jonathan Mosen had done a podcast on it. I know that Shelley Bristman just had a parallel cast on the Clubhouse, and that should be coming out soon for the public ears to hear.
Yeah, and so does the Double Tap. They have followers that are there. Thank goodness I'm on their follow list so I can join them. I'm very privileged to have gotten followed by these guys. Go ahead.
Oh, no, Double Tap and RNIB as
RNIB,
well.
Yeah. Yep. Those are good guys over there. But what I like is that you can contact people that you haven't talked to in many years, and that's just so great. And you can listen, you know, follow your followers and talk to who you want. And
yeah, and I'll be clear on this too, just for those who have not used it. Essentially, when you enter a room, it's kind of like a town hall. So just think of yourself going into an auditorium. So somebody set up this auditorium for whatever topic that may be. You're in the audience, so there's a stage, and that stage is a person with the microphone. And that person is the only person that can talk. Now, they can invite people up onto the stage and give them the mic to talk. And that's what the beautiful thing about it. It's not like a free-for-all that all 100 right. of us get in there and we're all talking at the same time. It can happen if you invite everybody onto the stage. That's not what it's designed for. But some rooms I've seen have done this. But most of the rooms that are more organized, there'll only be about 2 or 3 people up on stage talking. So it's kind of like a round table up on stage. You can raise your hand and they will see that. And if they feel like they want to bring somebody up from the audience, they'll bring you up on stage and then you can start talking along with them. And then they can put you back in the audience. So that is the concept of the, how the Clubhouse works.
And what's really weird is that when you first, let's say you create a room. So let's say Tom creates a room. And he creates a room, and it says something like, join me to talk about a new Apple product that I love or something like that, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
If I were the first one to join in, I would have the floor to speak to him. I don't have to raise my hand. I would just be there talking to him.
Happens to the first 2 people. Me and 1 other person.
That's right.
Automatically come up. I don't have to raise your hand. But once you get the third person, that's when they have to raise their hand.
And then if you really trust somebody, like, or if you want someone to learn, like, I kind of threw Thomas under the bus.
My first day.
How's it going? I said, fine, here, you want to be a moderator? And he goes, sure. So you can make somebody the moderator. And then
what do you do? You go off rowing. And I'm in charge of trying to bring people on and off. And I've never used this before. And everybody's like, I'm waiting. I say, please bear with me.
It happened that we had maybe, 30 people in the room or something at the time.
It was complete chaos. And by the time we were done, but it was fun. It was a great experience. And I appreciate it. I love meeting every one of you people. Getting a name to associate with that, put a voice to that name is what
I want. As long as you like us.
Exactly. I listen to a lot of other podcasts like Mac Accessibility. I got to meet Darcy and Holly and Shelly for the first time. I've never met them, and I had so much fun talking to them. I don't know if they felt the same, but they're like, why is she being so weird? I don't know. I just get so excited to meet people. This is a great place to do it. So I hope this is just a huge teaser for those that are not on Clubhouse and not on it. And I apologize for that, but I want to give you a heads up. This is coming. Some people think that in its pot, it may be true. It may be that 15 minute of fame where it's got that honeymoon phase. Maybe this is all excitement, and then it just fizzles out. I don't know. I get the feeling. I just don't see it fizzle out. Now, I see some people probably just get tired of it. Yes. But I'm going to use it for time to come because it's such an easy place. And you can set – I can follow these people and I can say, tell me when they're on. Always notify me when they're on. Or don't ever notify me if they're on.
Or sometimes.
Or sometimes. And that's the beautiful part. You got this control of when you follow people. And so it isn't like constantly beeping at you notifications such and such on, but – it is nice because I put Bill Gates like always. So if Bill ever pops on, he'll tell me that he's on and I'll just jump in, or Musk or Zuckerberg or all these big names. I've jumped into quite a few of those and they are awesome to listen to. I love it. So anywho, I wanted to mention that is a new app that somebody posted and it's starting to get some legs on it. And as I mentioned before, if the AppleViz team decide to think this has some interest for AppleViz, I will keep you guys up to date. Otherwise, you can find me on there. I'm always on there. And so I know Randy is. Randy's always on there more than me.
Well, I'm really honored to be on because somebody thought well enough of me to invite me. And that's really cool.
Awesome.
Now they don't like me anymore.
Okay, well, that's going to do the AppleViz Unleash for February 2021. I got to get my year right. I think I said 2020, didn't it?
Yeah, no, you said 2021. Once again, here we are, not knowing what we're talking about.
This is last year's podcast coming on now. It's the future. All right, well, Randy, thank you for coming on, man.
And, oh, you're always welcome, and thanks, guys, for listening. And
before I forget, we have introduced Chapters, if you're not familiar with that. Chapters is introduced, and we do have an Unleashed voicemail line, as I mentioned before. It's 816-774-1668. Keep them coming. We have gotten a handful of voicemail. I promise you I'm going to be playing that in the next month episodes of Unleashed, so we can listen to your feedbacks and questions. So hang in there. If you're one of those people waiting for questions to be answered, we will get those gathered up for next month and we'll get to those. So if you have any suggestions, feedback, advice, tips, or anything like that, give us a call or drop us an email at unleashed@applevis.com. My name is Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous. Until next month, bye-bye.
Bye.
Feel free to contact the AppleViz Unleashed team with feedbacks, tips, or questions at unleashed@applevis.com or call 1-816-774-1668. This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit www.applevis.com.